Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. All praise is due to Allah, and all unqualified praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mode. وَبَعَثَ نَبِيِّينَ مُبَاشِرِينَ وَمُنْزِرِينَ, and commissioned from among the messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, I bear evidence and testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ, His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ, in His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and He has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. وَيَيْهَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. الحمد لله والجمعة مبارك. أما بعد, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us in the Quran, let there arise out of you an ummah, calling to all that is good, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong. They are believing in Allah, and they are the ones that will be successful. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Buni al-Islamu al-Khams, the structure of al-Islam is built on five essentials. And we know those five essentials, even though in that particular report, it doesn't follow straight through, but we know what those five essentials are. But it also elaborates another way. The first among those is, is shahadatain, salat, zakat, sawm, and Hajj, those five pillars, right? Those five pillars of Al-Islam. And Al-Islam is built on those five pillars. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةً, let there arise out of you an ummah, those are the eternal orders for Muslims. So I've decided today to, even though we're working with another five, and I'll come back to that, decide today is, you know, back to basics, a reminder, just back to basics, a reminder. You know, I used to work with the bureaucrats in downtown. I used to work with them with the bureaucrats in downtown. Alhamdulillah, I appreciated my time with it. But, you know, you work in an office, oftentimes you find those little cartoons, somebody Xerox a cartoon and places it up in the coffee room or something like that, right? And one of them that I'm remembering right now, it says, sometimes you're so busy fighting the alligators, you forget that your job is to clean out the swamp, right? So it's like, you were sitting there to clean out the swamp, but you got so busy with them alligators, like, you know, hey, I'm just trying to survive, right? So relative to us as Muslims, the way that many of us came to Al-Islam, we didn't come to Al-Islam, most of us, we didn't come to Al-Islam through an existing Islamic culture. We didn't come to, like, when we did become Christians, we became Christians because we were born into a quote-unquote Christian household. And because we were born in a Christian household, it was never a question as to whether you are or are not a Christian. It's just like assumed you're a Christian. You born in your mama's house, your grandmama's, you know, domain, if you will, you're a Christian. Even as soon as somebody asks you on the street, even if you haven't given no attention before, you're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, it's a given. And there are those in Al-Islam who are in the same way. They come to Al-Islam just by birth. They come to Al-Islam, not diminishing it, I'm just saying, they come through birth and through the natural socialization and the situation of their geography and the like, so therefore, they become Muslim. But what happens also with Muslims who come that way is that they also fall into a somewhat unconscious relationship with Al-Islam. It's less a conscious relationship with Al-Islam, as opposed to a cultural relationship to Al-Islam. And obviously I can't be speaking for everyone, but in the main, that's what happens to people who are born into a particular way of life and were not necessarily educated into it. They were socialized into it. And many times we have found it to be the case that those who have been socialized into Al-Islam vis-a-vis having been born in a quote-unquote Islamic country, then much of their relationship with those of whom I'm focused right now, much of their relationship is a ritual and a superficial relationship, not to diminish Allah. I mean, Allah knows what's in the heart. But when you speak of how much you know about it, most of the things that we know about it, both Christian and Muslim, when we come that way, we know upon assumption, we know upon experience, we know upon, well, that's what my mama said, that's what my daddy said, that's what my auntie said. And so there, and that's the way we live our Al-Islam, in Christianity and Al-Islam in those cases to whom it relates. All right. So to speak back to those who came to Al-Islam through some organization, like I was a part of the original Nation of Islam, being a part of it, that's how I came through that door for as far as Al-Islam. Then I had to find out a few years later, well, that's not really Al-Islam. And so then I had to go through the next door and then learn and study what is Al-Islam and what was not Al-Islam, et cetera, and then get clear on that. And even after you, and this is the case right now, after being cleared up on that, okay, now do the work. Now that you know what is Al-Islam, what's not Al-Islam, Okay, well, get on the Islamic mission. Get on the Islamic mission. What's the Islamic mission? What I just said. Well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. We should understand it, that both the socialized Muslim, the naturalized Muslim, the convert, revert Muslim, the mission was the same. When you were asleep, when I was asleep, when everyone else was asleep, the mission that Allah has ordered for the human being and for Muslim, that order never changed. It never changes. And that's the mission that we're all supposed to be on. Sometimes we forget. Because sometimes when we come through the door, depending on whichever door, I'm just going to keep my focus on those who were reverts to Al-Islam in that sense, that we can fall into the habit of thinking that, well, it's the organization that was the door that I walked through Al-Islam, that I walked through to come to Al-Islam. That's my purpose for being. That's my reason for being. I'm here to represent that. Okay? So there are some from the Nation of Islam, like myself, revert, et cetera, et cetera, who may forget that, okay, yeah, that's the door you came through, but that's not what you came for. When you come to Al-Islam, you come for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for all Muslims. And this is why I'm saying, it's a reminder. Well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدَعُنَا إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Right? And so dealing with this today with respect for being back to basics, now I have to add this element, because as a student of Imam Wahid Imam, the one who opened the door to come through that door, but he didn't, wallahi, Allahu a'lam, he didn't invite us through the door, open the door for us to become worshipers of him, for us to become so adoring of him that whatever he brings transcends the universal mission of Al-Islam. No. His objective was and is, to the extent that we pay attention to what remains with us of what he taught, is that, no, be real Muslim. It's really important. Be real Muslim. Now, those of you who are with us that I won't go back to, I just have to stipulate and point back to it and invite you to go check it out. The Laylatul Qadr, the Night of Power address that we gave, and part of it was Unveiling the Hidden, I think was the title we started with, Unveiling the Hidden, a thousand-year-old argument that modern Muslims need to know about. Unveiling the Hidden, a thousand-year-old argument that modern Muslims need to know about. Because in my mentioning Imam Wahid Muhammad, there's naturally this reflexive reaction like organization. So therefore, you're in W.D. Muhammad's organization, right? Okay, he was the door that we came to, but when you go past the door, you come into something. The door is there, but you come into something. What did you come into? You came into Al-Islam. His invitation is, be real Muslims the way that Allah has ordered it. Now, what happens is, if you don't understand the history, because Al-Islam was moving when you and I weren't even a twinkling in our mama and daddy's eye. Al-Islam was already alive. Al-Islam was already at work 1,444 years or so, lunar calendar years right now, where we are. Al-Islam has been moving all the time, growing, evolving, inflecting, changing, influencing, creating its own history, civilizations and orders living and dying under and in the name of Al-Islam, or rather having the name of Al-Islam. So Islam has a history that makes it what it is from that same period of time, and whoever becomes a Muslim in that chronology, you became a Muslim at a certain time in a certain place. And there was something, Islam was being inflected and affected at whatever time that was, right? whether you talk about your family and its generations, and there's a direction that your family in its generations. I'm talking, let's take it back 600 years, 700 years. I want you to understand. It's like the Turkish people, the Syrian people, the Lebanese people, people of all other African, East and West, North and South Africa. Each of them, when Islam reached them, Islam was inflected in some kind of way by life as it was at that time. And sometimes different strains, quote unquote, different strains of al-Islam, many of their families and their generations of people and ethnic groups that whose life is an extension from what started 500 years ago or what started 700 years ago or 900 years ago. And people right now in the 21st century are still an extension of that 900-year-old generation of al-Islam from where they came from. I hope you're with me. Okay, so when we say, okay, in 1975, we got on the international Islamic train. But you had to get on at the station that you were at. I didn't get on a station somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? If you get on BART, you're going to get on it at the station that you are at, right? Okay, same way with al-Islam. And thank you. And respecting that reality, then to acknowledge the one, you can call it ancestry, you can call it whatever, bismillah. Whatever you want to call them. It's like somebody put their hand in your hand. Someone invited you. Someone said, I'm talking about for the reverse. Someone said, hey, come through this door. Come through this door, and I'll show you here. Go over there. I'll tell you what's going on. You see. And then they give you an orientation to what you come into. That's what Imam Muhammad, in short, did for us. So therefore, we have to recognize that. But I'm trying to also qualify to understand it wasn't an invitation to really be a part of an organization. It was an invitation to be a part of the international and historical work of al-Islam. But as the Quran says, and he mentioned, and he encouraged us often, he said, work ye in your places. You see, there's a place. Asian Muslims, ethnic Asian Muslims, ethnic African Muslims, ethnic Russian Muslims, ethnic European Muslims, everybody got to work in their place. And everybody, and this is what the Quran says, it's 2:148. And I advise you, read that whole section of verses, 2:145 through 155 or so. But the central point of it is, to each is the goal to which he is turning, so strive in the race towards all that is good. Wheresoever you start forth, turn toward the sacred masjid. All right? So that's a universal message also as to, okay, how do I as a European, as an African, as an Asian, what have you, how as an American, how do I participate in the international life of al-Islam? Work ye in your places. That's what the Quran says. Work ye in your places. Okay, how am I supposed to work in my place? Do the universal mission where you are. Because the mission is not different in America than in Africa, in Europe, in Asia. It's not a different mission, but there are different circumstances. There are different histories. This is why it's also critical to not think that I can't be a real Muslim unless I adopt somebody else's history. Unless, as a Muslim, oh, they're Muslims, so let's be like them. That's a special problem, a part of which the Nation of Islam and Imam W. Muhammad addressed. It's like, see, Negroes do that. I know it sounds funny, but I'm saying to you, Negro was a product of slavery. There was a specific mindset that was formed and shaped in that peculiar institution that Imam Muhammad described. I have found a better description of it. We were subject to an experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives. Everything and every way that a human being was supposed to operate normally and naturally, if they weren't interrupted in their evolutionary process, every process that would be natural for a human being was distorted and destroyed in us through that process of slavery. So we needed a special operation just to get out of the condition that we were brought into by that. And okay, enter Nation of Islam. Okay. It was a prescription for a time, and it worked for some people. It didn't work for everybody, and it wasn't for everybody. But when the Imam came and said, okay, look, it worked for some people. It didn't work for everybody. It was experimental in this way, and God had his hand in it, mashallah. And okay, here we are now. We can let that go. It did what it did. Whoever got the benefit, they got the benefit from it. And may Allah have mercy on those who didn't get the benefit from it. Okay, so the idea now is we have to be Muslims as we are, where we are, when we are. It's not a different, there's no different prescription. Listen, there's no different prescription. Al-Islam is Al-Islam. But Al-Islam is, for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it, no, I'll use this word, adaptable. I'll use adaptable. Should I say flexible? That doesn't mean that Al-Islam itself changes. No. Al-Islam provides the wherewithal to universally aid human beings who embrace Islam under and whenever and whatever condition they embrace it under. Al-Islam has something for you. If you find Al-Islam in jail, Al-Islam got something for you. You find Al-Islam as a wealthy person, Al-Islam got a direction for you. You find Al-Islam as a poor person, Al-Islam got something for you. You find Al-Islam as a Caucasian, you find Al-Islam as an Asian, you find Al-Islam as an African, you find Al-Islam in the 19th century, you find Al-Islam in the 20th century, Al-Islam said, I got you. It's the same Al-Islam, but it is for the universal condition of human beings wherever and whenever they might be and whoever they might be. So this it gives me an important opportunity to reemphasize. You don't have to imitate any other Muslim to be a real Muslim. That's a big deal. Because one of the main issues from that experimental clinic that caused us to dysfunction from in the vital areas of our lives was the loss of identity. That's a big deal. And that, therefore, for people of this condition, that's like one of the biggest hungers. The hunger for a stable and dignified identity. And you can come to Al-Islam if you make the mistake of thinking that the pride and the uprightness and the shoulder back, chest out spirit that you see in other ethnic groups that are Muslim is that in order for you to get that, you got to get what they got so that you can be like them. But it doesn't matter. Because you will always be an imitation of what you're imitating. God is not inviting us to that. What is Allah inviting us to? One of those things which was powerful and attractive to us in the original prescription. Get on to your own and be yourself. The idea is to be yourself. But what was this message? This message, and what is my own self? My own self is a righteous Muslim. Are there any Muslims other than righteous? I beg your pardon. I never heard of such. Some people heard that before. I don't know. Maybe about 2-3 of y'all might. We're hanging in there. We're gonna hang around as long as we can, mashallah. So identity. So therefore, people who portray to us an attractive identity in Al-Islam and convince us that if you be like me, you will be a real Muslim. That's the part that's when we check out. I love you. Alhamdulillah. But I'm going this way. Right? But this is not to say that there's a that everyone who is not so that's their motivation. Only Allah knows the motivation. But I'm saying, in terms of that mission. So I'm saying this is why that part of the mission is critical. So where's your identity going? Where's the original identity going to come from? You already have it. You already have it. Your identity is your history. Your identity is your experience. Your identity is your socialization, which in the line that I'm speaking right now is like, okay, I was once over here, and then this happened, and then I came over here, and then that happened, and then after that, this happened, and now I've come to Al-Islam after all that. And now I am being what Allah created me to be, because my relationship between Al-Islam is not inflected by somebody else's vision of me. I have my own authentic vision of me and my own interpretation of my history and the place that history plays in my life now as a Muslim. And I have to say this. I do find myself sometimes having to apologize, I sometimes say these things apologetically, because I understand how it can be taken. So I'll put a spirit of apologetics on it, but nobody has had that history that I just talked about. Who else had that history? Who else experienced being kidnapped, stolen, stripped of all humanity, dehumanized, left in a society where I had to, in the 60s, walk around with a sign on my chest saying I am a man? Who? It's like, nobody. Look, try hard not to laugh at what I'm about to say. Go look in history and find a Negro that's not the one that was born in America. Look all through European history. Look all through Asian history. Look all through Pacific Island history. Whatever, New Zealand, Australia. Find a Negro in history. There's never been anyone like Negroes. No one has suffered what Negroes have suffered. And in conclusion, this part of khutbah is like, then for that creature, I'll have to say it that way, because we were fully dehumanized. For that creature to come to a point where he says and she says, assalamu alaikum. Imagine something just being beat down, crushed, decimated, destroyed. Boom. And then imagine after you know, whatever, take a science fiction or a Marvel comic beat down, whatever. You know, they beat the dirt is coming up over them. They all been beat down. Then you see them coming back up. And they stand up. Assalamu alaikum. It's like, what? Where did Negro get that talk from? And then you see his behavior, you see her behavior, you hear their thinking, you feel their civility, you feel their courage, you feel their faith, you feel their optimism, you feel their determination, you feel their sense of conviction. All you got to do is think about our great heroes in this past. Where did the El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, where did the Martin Luther King Jr., where did the Elijah Muhammad's come from? Where did they come from? The Frederick Douglasses, the Sojourner Truths, the Harriet Tubman. What was driving those people? And then to come to the point where that Negro says there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And they had been taught all their life, conditioned from the womb, to believe that white people were God in the flesh. So that part of that history, to jettison that, is to leave a gaping crater-wide hole in your identity. And for someone to introduce you to Al-Islam and to introduce it in such a way that says you no longer need that. Let me give you another set of heroes. And they give you a set of heroes that are totally disconnected from your line. Everybody's got their heroes. Don't get it wrong. Let me go ahead and finish up. But don't take mine. You're going to give me your hero. I got to give up all mine. Oh, well, Elijah Muhammad, he wasn't a real Muslim. You know, Mary McLeod Bethune, she was kuffar. You know, Frederick Douglass, he wasn't a Muslim. You need to have Muslims as your heroes. You don't realize that they just took away your identity. And that's why when you see those absent that appreciation, you don't see the ethnic health in their spirit, in their behavior, and the like. And that's not what Allah invited us to this for. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ما شاء الله so we're talking about back to basics, right? And in this back to basics, we talked about Ummah. Okay, those things, we have to say those things because those are the contexts from which we speak, and you need to have a sense of that. But I hope you can appreciate that even though that bit of history that I talked about is, quote-unquote, ethnic in its inflection, I'm just speaking of it academically and historically and culturally in terms of that. But Al-Islam, that is Al-Islam. What do you mean? It says, "Inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unza wa shuuba." Subhanallah. We created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and made you waj'alnakum shuuba wa qabaila li ta'arrafu, and we made you into nations and tribes that you may get to know one another. Allah created us with our distinctions. So to try to suppress those distinctions or to act like they are not relevant, that's to deny what Allah has ordered, right? So in embracing that reality, going back to the verse that says, so to each is a goal to which he's turning, so strives in a race, so all the good whatsoever you start for, turn toward the sacred masjid. So that means the Asians have to turn toward the destiny of Al-Islam. The Africans have to turn toward the destiny of Al-Islam. The Europeans have to turn toward the destiny of Al-Islam. Americans have to turn to the destiny of Al-Islam. The mission is the same. And that's what Hajj shows us. Hajj shows us we come from the quote-unquote four corners of the earth, coming to one place for one purpose, worshiping one God, practicing one religion. That's the destiny of the whole thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with men, women can still wear the culture references, and it has, and I say it has to do also with the very thing I'm saying. Allah does not mean for you, because the women, to the extent that they represent the culture, they represent the culture, and the fact that she can still come with some things that may represent the culture from which she's come, whereas the men have to, for sure, have the ihram, et cetera, purely. But we can have men, can have no representation of status or culture or this or that. Because the goal is to leave that quote-unquote culture behind as a mind, as a heart, as a spirit in that sense, and come purely, labayk Allahumma labayk, come purely for Allah. And the men are the ones that need that, much more so than the women, because women are much closer to nature already. It takes a lot to move a woman off of the natural pattern and order. If you find one off the natural pattern order, she has been traumatized in some major kind of way. Otherwise, she is born close to nature, stays close to the nature. But men, we are the ones that need to be brought back in that sense, much more so than that. So the idea is that. The distinctions that we have are meant by Allah. And I have to say one more thing about that, and then conclude with other things. Brother and sister, there's no such thing as a plain book. If, you know, we're in this room, and let's say that there's a library somewhere else, you know, in the other room, let's say. I say, you know, bring me a book, right? Okay, you go get a book. Even if you don't ask, well, what kind of book, right? Let's say you don't ask. You just go, because what I asked for is a book. So you're going to go get a book. So you bring the book back. You've satisfied what I asked, and bring a book, right? So if I say, bring me a fish, okay, bring me a fish. And even if I say, bring me some ice cream, right? The point is, there's no such thing as a plain book. No such thing as a plain book. Even if you bring me a book with quote-unquote blank pages, that's not a plain book. That's a notebook. No such thing as a plain book. No such thing as plain ice cream. There's no such thing as plain ice cream. Oh, what about vanilla? That's vanilla. It's vanilla ice cream, right? There's no such thing as a plain fish. No such thing as a plain fish. There's always going to be some kind of fish. There's no such thing as a plain Muslim. I'm just going to be a Muslim. Okay? You're going to be some kind of Muslim. Because there's no way for you not to be some kind of Muslim. Ideally, you want to be the right kind of Muslim in the frame that we're speaking from. All right? So to each is the goal to which he's turning. So God is saying, no matter where you start from, no matter who you are, no matter what your history, no matter what your geography, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what those accidental matters are, you still have the same mission. You have to build ummah. It's not to build up your race. It's not to build up your culture. Is not to build up the organization that was the door through which you came to al-Islam. It is to be Abdullah. It is to serve Allah where you are and when you are and as you are. It's service to Allah. Very important. I say it's a reminder because sometimes we sleep on the fact that We get focused on the practice of the pillars of al-Islam, mashallah, to the extent that we do. You make the mistake of thinking that my life is just a life of prayer. I'm a Muslim, and I make my 5 daily prayers. And you think you've completed the mission. That ain't the mission. Prayer, zakat, asawm, Hajj and all these other the practices of al-Islam, Those are for us. Listen, please. Listen, please. The five pillars of Al-Islam. I'm just throwing out, this is not specifically what they are. I'm going to throw it out so you understand. Five pillars as a, so it's like, there's the nervous system, there's the circulatory system, there's the skeletal system, there's the muscular system, and throw in whatever one I can't name. If you lose those systems, you're dead. No skeletal system, dead. No circulatory, dead. No nervous system, dead. No shahadatain, dead. No salat, dead. No zakat, dead. No fasting, dead. No hajj, dead. The five pillars of Al-Islam are necessary for us to remain humanly alive. And so you do that. Who are you doing it for? To you. So therefore, what do you do for God? You build ummah. That's the only real reason you need to be alive. I mean, really, right? I'm alive, so now I'm going to get that Rolls Royce up in the name of that. Is that it? Is that what it's about? You know you're going to have to meet your Lord, right? So I hope you understand and appreciate what's being said here. Is that? Don't think that you come to Al-Islam for your ethnicity. You come to Al-Islam for the organization that opened the door for you, or that you come to Al-Islam just so that you can be safe from the madness out there in society. There's work to be done. And ummah, just for illustration purposes, ummah is to have Muslim Chinatown. You feel what I'm saying? We don't have ummah till we have Muslim Chinatown. Can you have Muslim Koreatown? Can you have Muslim Utah? We don't have ummah until my money is inside an Islamic economy where the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the law, the legislator, et cetera, et cetera. They are Muslim and upholding Islamic values and moving forward the agenda, the universal agenda, because all these politics, you've got politics in everywhere. So it's like some nations' politics, their politics itself, but they want to make their politics your politics, and believe it or not, I'm done. That the role of politics, listen, the object of politics is self-determination. Self-determination. See, somebody can give you their politics. If they give you their politics, then you become useful for their self-determination. Now, unless your politics and their politics is the same, then you're just being used. But you need to know what your politics are. In order to know what your politics are, you need to know who you are, where you are, and when you are. Then your self-determination is dictated by all that, those answers. But as long as you don't have those answers, then you are available for anybody who can take advantage of your ignorance of your own self-determination and put you on their bandwagon, and now they use your energy for their destiny. Where's your destiny? Okay? So there are things that just simply have to be worked out. So, lastly, I'll make one statement. Our vision, our mission is to move from a Western logic to an Islamic logic and to build Islamic community life by institutionalizing in our individual and collective lives the behavior, habits, and the social institutions that are implicit in each of the five pillars of Al-Islam. And that's what we'll continue to talk about going forward. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. سيدنا محمد رسول الله. استوى استقيم يرحمكم الله ثابكم الله. Make our world straight and evenly, no space between us, Satan and divided by rules on straight our hearts and agree. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta 'alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi 'alayhim wal-ghadhib. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في الدين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله تقبل الله. الحمد لله. Just make a couple of if you don't make some noise, feel free to do so. Just don't start conversation on the floor. What's going on? That's fine. That's fine. Alhamdulillah. We still, you know, let me mention this about the kitchen, right? We have the stove. When I say we have the stove, it's in the country, right? Let's just put it like that. The one that was there, it has been removed. So now we have all the ancillary costs related to, we can always use more money. So the stove has been paid for. But there are other renovations that need to be done in the kitchen. There's flooring, there's the cost of taking it out and installation. You have to pay for those kinds of things. So you can still make contributions for that renovation that's going on, mashallah, by the same means. That's the key for that. Dr. Zaid's class that is beginning April 30, okay, that's this Sunday. It's an online course that begins for reading the Arabic Quran. I can't overemphasize how critical it is. And I also need to express my joy and pleasure. There's so many, I have to say, especially among the sisters, but we have many young men who are stepping up to reading and reciting the Quran with that excellence. So Dr. Zaid is, you know, alhamdulillah, we're blessed to have him in our community and helping to make that happen. And so this Muslim movement, what's going on here? Every Saturday, starting May 6th, so May 6th, okay, next weekend. May 6th, right here at Masjid Warabeen. Holistic health and wellness coach, Kiyama Nasir, and fitness. Look at it. This is where we're going, right? Insha'Allah. Physical fitness trainer, Ibrahim Shaheed, that's going to be every Saturday at noon. Come on through, and they say they're going to meet you at their level, right? You say you're going to meet everybody at their level, right? Even somebody like me, right? Alhamdulillah. So we look forward to that. The Hifaz game, there's a lot to be said about this, but listen, even if we just talk about literacy, do you think people are reading less nowadays? I mean, just in reality, literally reading a page. That is a lost art that's being lost among us. So I'm saying even with the game, just having ourselves and our young people learning better how to read along with learning al-Islam, the way of life, those things, those are the basic five pillars that we're talking about. It's like sometimes you think you know, but you think you know until you get asked the question. You say, okay, what is this? You know, how many times do you watch your right hand and your left hand? All those things, the game helps you to learn and do that. And also builds up other skill sets. So make sure that you get that, make it gifts, and also make it a way of connecting the family as well. And with others, whether it's family, you know, groups, have a potluck together and play the game. All those wonderful things. So thank you so much. God's peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is it? Men's group? Oh, okay, yeah, here you go. We need bodies too, okay? Saturday and Sunday help painting the floor and cleaning it, because all that, you know what happened when you move the refrigerator, when you move the stove, you know what I'm saying? All the stuff there, there's been the grease and everything else there. So be cleaning that up. See Ibrahim, come get your blessing for helping out. 12 o'clock, Saturday and Sunday? Oh, yeah, assalamu alaikum. Oh, okay. You can do something else. You got a gift for me? That's all they got. Talk about love. We're done, y'all. This family stuff right here. That's all they got. So, young man, how you doing?
Good.
That's you, right? We got a lot of hope in you in the future. That's all I'm blocked up.